So it's difficult to pin it down to a lot of specific details. We could go through the qualities of what a shepherd is. We could talk about a lot of different things regarding a shepherd. This song says a lot about following. And to follow someone, you really want to be able to trust where they're leading you. We've all had experiences with maybe where we've been wounded or led down a path where we figure, ooh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or maybe made another choice. But I think we can all come to the realization that Jesus Christ has the right path for us to follow. And he declares something in John chapter 10, which I thought we could briefly look at here. And then I want to show you the context of John chapter 10, a little broader. There's seven uses of and phrases that Jesus uses in the Gospel of John. We're going to look at one here in particular, John chapter 10, verse 11. Then we'll cover it in a little bit more detail, in a little bit. Verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming and boom, he's out of here. I don't have nothing to do with those sheep. I'm gone. He leaves the sheep and they flee, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and he really doesn't have the intrinsic care and concern for the sheep." And then he says again in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine." Many, many records in the Bible of shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob. And maybe the most famous one was David. He talks about how God chose him and kind of groomed him into this position of leadership by being a shepherd. And as we know, he was a pretty brave individual, I would say. He walked into circumstances and situations and intimidating conditions that most of us probably would have tucked tail and run the other way and just said, no way. I'm out of here. But you know, there's a great context to John chapter 10. And Jesus isn't just necessarily speaking to his disciples, you know, making this flowery oration of, you know, I'm the good shepherd. He was talking to the Pharisees. And actually, you have to go back to John chapter 9 to really see the context of what Jesus was saying in John chapter 10. Because that's a very famous chapter, right? "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." But he had these antagonists who were kind of hovering around him. And this was an example of many examples that he used in the Gospel of John. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." And there's others. All these are just metaphorical analogies in showing that Jesus is really the way. He's the path that each and every man has to travel down and follow to get into the Father's pasture land. He is the mediator, the man, Christ Jesus the Lord. And I'm going to show you a really cool little clip of a video here that will put this in a little greater context before we carry on. So I'll get Gabe to play that here.
What is sin? This man or his parents said he was born blind.
Neither have this man sinned nor his parents. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent to me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Is this not he that's handpicked?
This is he.
No, he is my kid.
I am he.
How were thine eyes opened?
A man is called Jesus, made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight.
Where is he?
I know not. How did you receive your sight?
He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed to see.
This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day.
How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?
What seest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes.
He is a prophet.
Go bring his parents. Is this your son, who thou sayest was born blind? How then does he now see?
We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth?
We know.
Or who hath opened his eyes?
We know.
He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself.
Give God the praise. We know that this man Jesus is a sinner.
Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
What did he do thee? How opened he thine eyes?
I had told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?
Thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is.
Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened my eyes. And we know that God heareth not sins. But any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing.
That was altogether born in sin. That does not teach us. See not my sin. And that they which see might be made blind.
Are we blind also?
If you were blind, you should have sinned. But now ye say we see. Therefore your sin remains.
Jesus followed up with that. And speaking to the Pharisees, wow, that was incredible to me. I just felt like when I saw that, you guys really need to see that. Be blessed to see that. That's our Lord right there. He's the good shepherd. He cares. That's the thing. He cares. You know, it's hard to find somebody in this world sometimes who cares about anything, much less another person, you know. Sometimes people just want to be asked, how are you doing? Wow. Can you imagine how that guy must have felt? That guy was healed. Born blind. Unbelievable, man. Whew. And then he goes on, he explains this, he has this incredible record in John 10 where he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Context. Talking to the Pharisees who are promoting the fact that they're the ones who know God. We know the way. We're Moses' disciples. And here's Jesus, who cares, who loves, who heals, who holds, who touches, who reaches to the lost. I just wonder how lost that blind man must have felt. All those years sitting there and just being in a position to have to beg just to survive. This parable of the saying spake Jesus unto them, but they understood. Well, guess what? They had no idea what he was talking about. Like, what? What are you talking about? Talk about blindness, right? Spiritual blindness. Was it here that they were spiritually blind? Or was it here that really the blindness was happening? You know, more of the relationship with God and His Son Jesus Christ has to do with the quality of our heart than it has anything to do with the knowledge that we hold in our minds. That is only leading us to a greater intimate relationship with the Father God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. How could Jesus do these things? Oh, because He knew the Father so well. Because He spent time with the Father. He said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep didn't hear them. I'm the door, but by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture." And he talks about the thief cometh not. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. God cares about us, and God cares about you, and we care about others. We want to extend that care to others. You know, I guess the classic thing in the Bible that most of us would be familiar with, we sing about it, we quote it, teach it to children, all that sort of thing, is Psalm 23. Maybe somebody in here could quote it verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? A lot of things that are written into the 23rd Psalm. One of the great things is, though, is that David is expressing his heart as a sheep, not as the shepherd. He is the sheep because he is in subject to the great shepherd. And what comfort, what care, what relief, what peace, what consolation, what restoration he felt in his life and in his heart being under the care of the Master. I mean, we say that, you know, understanding the Bible is simple. Yes, that's true, but it's not always so easy. Because we all fight things that cause us to be concerned, careful, anxious, worried, doubtful, fearful, and a number of other things. Thank God we can come back to like what it talks about and exhorts us to think about and cultivate in our hearts. Something that's blessed me, and I want to just share with you, share a little bit of this in closing this sharing, which is, I guess, going to be pretty short. This is called the Shepherd's Heart. Called Growing Closer to the Heart of God. That's all God wants. He wants our heart. And then we just become an extension of that day by day, moment by moment, and we realize we don't have it all figured out. We're not so smart as we think we are. But He is. Anyway, there's one thing in particular I wanted to share. Maybe you want to look at this verse, Isaiah 49, I believe it is. Isaiah 49, verse 10. I guess this is, you know, these records and this subject in particular is very close to my heart. We're all like sheep. We all need to follow the Master. We all need to hear His voice. Verse 10. Hmm. shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. This translation said, he who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. This entire chapter of Jeremiah talks about pastors and shepherds. Kind of a no-brainer to think that God is compassionate. Is God compassionate? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Here we are, drawing breath. In spite of the way we've lived, in spite of the way we've thought, in spite of the things that our future could have turned out like, here we are. Very, very, very compassionate. As grapevines produce grapes and fruit trees produce fruit, it is his nature to show compassion. God is full of compassion. It is not a sideline quality he has tried to cultivate. Neither is he a miserly master doing it out when forced to do so from his heavenly vault. In Psalm 103:4, it says, God crowns us with love and compassion. We are fitted with royal robes of grace and mercy, and then he confers a crown of love and compassion on our brow. It is a king's wardrobe bestowed on us. Clothes to wear, a crown on our head. As followers of a compassionate shepherd, we become compassionate people. It will be our normal response. We will be, as it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, clothed with compassion. It becomes part of who we are, our identity of the Lord Jesus who lives within us. It flows out of us. Let it go. Let it happen. Don't stop it as looking at it as some type of weakness. Embrace it as some type of really wonderful strength that is so needed in our society. Now, clothing is part of everyday life. It's just not a happenstance event. Some days on, some days off. Just as we do not decide each morning if we will wear clothes or not, the decision for compassion is not a daily one. It is our very nature. We are naked without it. It becomes a part of us. That's why it is so hurtful to us many times when we're in an environment where compassion is not a part of the equation. It's like scratching your nails down a chalkboard. You know what that sounds like? It's just because we crave to not only be compassionate, we also crave to receive compassion. Often misunderstood, compassion is not a passive thing like sorrow or pity. It is certainly possible to feel a great deal of sorrow and pity for a person, yet do absolutely nothing. True compassion will have none of these passive passions. Number one, compassion senses the deep hurt without waiting to be told. Compassion feels another's pain in its own heart. But compassion, if it be true, is not complete with just feelings. Compassion acts to relieve the anguish and to soothe the hurt. The Lord Jesus, our Lord, modeled this three-part compassion for us. Visiting village after village, Jesus saw the people and had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sensed their plight, and as a result, it says, he wept. He was so moved in his heart with his identification with the pain and suffering, let's say, of mankind, and his desire to really help. It just said he was overcome with emotion. But tears were not enough. In his final act of compassion, he redeemed us completely, 100%, to never stop. So, as sheep of God and of the Good Shepherd, and under shepherds to each other, that's what we are. We're under shepherds of the Shepherd. The Great Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, now us. See? Sheep, yes. Under shepherds, too. See? Our compassion will not stop at sorrow or tears, but it will daily act to bring comfort to those around us. One great work of the Shepherd is to soothe the heart. To bring comfort, to bring care, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring deliverance. See, those are all just things that describe the love of God in action. You know, I've once heard that signs, miracles, wonders are simply God's display case in the senses world. It's just the manifestation of God's love. All these things Jesus said. Bread of life, resurrection of life. What are all those things? Those are just metaphorical examples that he used to encourage and exhort people to enter into the Father's presence. I'm bringing you to a place of quiet rest, still waters, a place where there's abundance, the oil, the cup that overflows. Where are those things? Only in the presence of the Great Shepherd. See. Pity weeps and runs away. Compassion comes to help instead. How about that? No, not me. And Christ may be saying, just reach out your hand. Not this. This. Lift. Help. 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 So we close real quick in Psalm 23. You guys getting the point? Yeah. His name is wonderful. Name is wonderful. David makes this Psalm 23 very personal. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. The rod and the staff, they comfort me." These are examples of trust. And we're near completely, in this particular instance, trusting in God. And it's so much more about God than it is about us. Because then you just want to see his provision. You just want to open your heart freely. No more fear. What are you trying to protect? The fact you have a need? "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And all of these things, there's tremendous studies and things that could be done about these. In verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And finally, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, man may dismiss compassion from his heart, but God never will. Never, ever, 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 ever. And you can take that to a bank, to the bank, a million times in a million years from now. Because one thing's for sure, the Great Shepherd is compassionate. The good shepherd, compassionate. The innate quality of Christ within us and that spiritual nature has made us compassionate. We can offer the hand. The hand. To raise somebody up. To live beyond their circumstances, their situations, their current state of affairs. It's because they've been trusting in something else. We're encouraging people to trust in the true shepherd. His heart, his care, his provision. And we become so identified with people in our Lord that this just becomes a part of us and helps us to move beyond our own inadequacies, our own weaknesses, which end up being like right here. And we can't see on the other side of the fence. You know, it's like my weakness, my inability, my trials, my temptations, my problems, my this and that and everything else are so much bigger than, oh, really? Am I taking all those down and just looking on the other side, looking through it or going through it? It's so much more pleasant. Lie down in green pastures. Leaded behind the still waters, beside the still waters. Restore, restoration, comfort. So, it's a little bit of the heart of the Good Shepherd. There's a lot more, but you get to experience that on your own. We all do. And so I just wanted to, you know, be able to take a little bit of time here to open my heart to you guys and, you know, share some of these things so that we can, I think, have a greater appreciation too, you know, and maybe be a little more stimulated and motivated to, you know, live differently a little bit. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the love and grace we walk in, for the finished work of Jesus Christ in our behalf that has made us and brought us to a place that we certainly could never, ever, ever get to on our own. Father, thank you that we can throw our complete dependence upon you. We can ask you to help in our time of need, Father. We can come before your throne of grace. We can somehow do whatever little piece and portion of the ministry of reconciliation that we can handle and do. And Father, thank you for giving us greater courage and boldness to speak out, and also just to walk confidently and to recognize the voice of the shepherd. And we thank you for these many wonderful and beautiful things, Father, that you continue to show us about your nature and the love you have for each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, God bless you guys.